Okay, brethren, we're happy to have Brother Freeman service again. He has a title. Title is Developing Our Faith Structure. Developing Our Faith Structure.
Well, brethren, again, it's my privilege to be here with you. Certainly have enjoyed the fellowship, the temple provisions that have been provided, and the hands that prepared them. We're very thankful for that. We're going to talk a little bit about building our faith structure, or developing our faith structure. A structure is that which is constructed as a combination of related parts as a building or machine. So what we're going to focus on here primarily is the foundation portion of that. We know without faith we cannot please God. And our faith is what overcomes the world, is it not? So this is what our focus will be on this morning, this time. Our Lord likens our Christian faith to a house and represents the trials in the end of this gospel age as a great storm which will beat upon every house, with the result that all that are founded upon the rock will stand, as our hymn, and all founded upon the sand will collapse. That's reprint 2496-4. Reprint 2496-4. It is reasonable that God should test severely the faith and love of those who have been invited to be joint heirs with His Son. They must be loyal and trustful to the last degree. In 1 Peter 1:7, the writer, the apostle, tells us, "It is your faith that is on trial now. However, in the calmer days, you were quite laying the foundation of the knowledge of the truth. Now, we are in the furnace to be proved." So what should we do? Summon all of our courage and fortify our patience and nerve ourselves to endurance and hold fast to our hope. No man can build a proper life unless he has some foundation, some doctrine, some faith. A man with no faith and no hope is sure to be correspondingly lacking in character. So we believe that the important thing is that we should have a proper foundation. A proper faith, a proper doctrine upon which to build character and good works. Our Lord's illustration in Luke 6, 47 and 48, and I won't read that at this point, shows the possibility of a building upon two kinds of foundation. One that is worthy and one that is unworthy. But notice that this parable does not represent the heathen or the world in any sense of the word. Here, this particular parable is addressed to him that heareth these sayings of mine and who understands my teachings. The parable clearly finds its two classes in those who have heard the good tidings and who are building their hopes upon His promises. And the hopes that are built upon the Lord's promises, the hopes built upon the Lord's promises and unaccompanied by works, would be hopes built upon the sand. And it is only a matter of time until the great testing time shall come, and such hopes will be shown to be worse than useless. They will be shown to have deceived their possessor, who thought himself safe in his assurances of a share in God's kingdom. Such hope, such faith, as failed to obediently strive to do the Lord's will, such faith and hopes as consider that obedience is not essential to a place in the, that is not essential to a place in the kingdom, are falsely founded. And their overthrow will come with great disaster. But on the contrary, those who build with obedience, their heart as well as their tongues, confessing and honoring their Lord, their deeds corroborating their faith, and their fruits bearing testimony of their vital relationship with the Lord, these shall pass through all the storms of life and shall never be moved, never be shaken. Why? Because they are on the proper foundation. If anyone would build, would put up a great building, they would, at the very beginning, employ an architect. And this architect to draw up plans and the specifications. And in the plan, everything would be arranged beforehand. The size and the location of the various rooms, the character of the material that is to be used, etc., would all be foreknown and forestated, in order that whoever would read the specifications and see the architect's drawings would know exactly what kind of building that was going to be erected. Just so with our Creator, who is a great architect and builder. And His entire plan for mankind was prearranged before the foundation of the world. And some of the scriptures that we used earlier this morning, in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, Isaiah 45, 5, 21 and 22, verses 21 and 22. So we see here that God has a special purpose in everything that He has made. He has had a blessing in view for all of His intelligent creatures. As we stated in Genesis 12:3 this morning, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And He uses the word nations in 22:18 of Genesis. The Almighty God has not been working in a haphazard manner, doubtful of the outcome of His plans and of His purposes, as it once seemed to us, I know to me, in ignorance of God's divine plan. So, brethren, it is very comforting to know that our Heavenly Father has infinite wisdom and power, as well as infinite justice and love. And there are many scriptures here. Proverbs 3. Let's read that. Proverbs 3, 19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth, and by understanding, He established the heavens. In chapter 5, verse 1 of Proverbs, my son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. 8:14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. 24:3. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. So here, these are very comforting words for us to know that our Heavenly Father has infinite wisdom and power as well as infinite justice and love. Let's look at Jeremiah 10:12. Jeremiah 10, chapter 10, verse 12. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. Fifty-one fifteen. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He stretched out the heavens. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him. So this is very comforting to know that our God is one. And wisdom, justice, power, and love. If we're going to build a home, but first of all, let's look at some more scriptures here first. In Psalms 127, verse 1. Psalms 127, verse 1. We're going to look at the architect here a minute. He's subcontracted it out to our Lord, we know, the branch. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Let's look at Zechariah 6:12. Zechariah 6:12. Here we're talking about our Lord. You know, David and all of them, they wanted to build that house, but this is the one that was going to be the builder in the final analysis. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. He shall build the temple of the Lord. And in chapter 6, verse 13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord. Let's look at a few more scriptures. This kind of ties in with our hymn. Matthew, in the New Testament, Matthew 16:18. And I say unto thee, our Lord talking to Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at a few more scriptures on the building portion of it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, 21 and 22. And you can read verse 19 for context, but I won't go into that. I'll leave that with you. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also, Paul is addressing, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We'll come back to some of those. But 1 Peter 2:5. These are the scriptures that pertain to the building. 1 Peter 2:5. And you can see verse 4 there. First, we'll just read verse 5 though. Ye also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up, well, in here it says spiritual sacrifices, but we know that's not, we're not offering up spiritual sacrifices. That's spurious. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is not in the oldest manuscript. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And we'll address that a little bit later on at the end. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians, in the same book there, same chapter, and verse 9, beginning at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that it is that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. In verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So here again, where ye are the temple of God. Before we would do anything in regards to a building, we would sit down and count the cost. And Luke 14:28. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? The Lord would not have any one take upon himself the responsibilities of this relationship without due deliberation and forethought. But if you can afford it, the investment will bring great returns. One would not be certain of success in any earthly venture who did not apply time, means, heart, and mind to the acquiring of his object. Can less be expected of him who lives for God? What about the material that we're going to put in a building? It's very important to use strong and lasting materials in the construction of any building. This is especially true when it comes to the development of our faith. The elements of our faith may also be illustrated by lasting materials such as gold, silver, or precious stones, as we read a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 3. This material is very strong, and they have value. But on the other hand, the wood, the hay, the stubble, they're not good for building. Why? Because there is no substance to them, and for this purpose they are practically useless. A few more scriptures on builder, the architect. Again, as I should have stated earlier, one architect is one whose profession is to design and draw up plans for buildings, etc., and supervise their construction. The one we're referring to is the one who devises plans or creates anything. And some of the scriptures that we've already read would corroborate that. What about the builder again? Our Lord. In Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. First Corinthians 8:6. This scripture is to corroborate who the builder actually is. 1 Corinthians 8:6. All things are of the Father. All things are by the Son. The power was of the Father, but it was exercised through the Son. And without him, not anything was made. Let's look at John, the Apostle John, chapter 1 and verse 3. All things in verse 1 were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Hebrews 1:2. Hebrews 1:2. Here the writer in Hebrews is telling us, in these last days, God has spoken to us, and in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. I should have read verse 1 first. Whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the world. An interesting article in reprint 3283, referring to the temple building. The work of gathering the various stones for the temple has been in progress throughout this gospel age. As not any and every stone was taken for Solomon's temple, but only those of specific dimensions and peculiar pattern in accordance with God's plan. So it is with the anatypical, the living stones, as we read 1 Peter a little bit earlier, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, I believe it was. Only a certain class are approached at all. And only those which bring being cut out are first roughly quarried. Are first roughly quarried out and found suitable in character and dimensions are tooled at all. And only those which under the tool yield proper results and become conformed to the intended pattern will ultimately find their place in the glorious temple which our Lord as the great master builder is constructing. So what is the standard? Our Lord told us, what is it, in 5:48 of Matthew's? I believe that's what it is. Therefore, you are to be perfect and not in the flesh. We know that won't happen. And the comments was something on that early on. Therefore, you are perfect. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect and intent. So that's the standard. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where is that in Romans 8:29? 12:2. Well, that's, yes. But one I'm thinking about now is in, what did I say, 8:28 of Romans? Or 29? 8:29. So we get an idea of the standard here. This is in the specifications, is it not? Part of the architect's design. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So that's a beautiful illustration that we have behind us here on that chart, on that pyramid. That top stone that was rejected. And that's such a beautiful illustration. The whole world of mankind, eventually, we know, are going to be built right up under that and conform to that top stone. That was by design. That's what's going to happen. Satan himself may be used of the Lord through various agents for the chiseling and polishing and fitting and preparing of these living stones for their future glorious position. The adversary. So viewed in this light, what a satisfaction may come from the trials and the difficulties which all the Lord's people are sure to experience, and without some of which they would be justified in fearing that they are not sons, but illegitimate. In Hebrews 12:8. To our understanding of the teaching of Scripture, the fact that the materials for Solomon's temple were prepared before its construction began. I was talking to Sister Judy a little at the break, and she's coming to visit down our way in July. And I was just telling, I think Brother Jim was there, or Sister Linda, one of the two, that not the hotel where she'll be staying on the river, but the one a little further around the bend there. It was constructed out in a quarry about X number of miles. I don't know how many miles away that was. And the rooms were brought in and put into this building as they were completed. All of the electrical, the whole thing was complete before they set it in. That's amazing. And they will, you'll be riding through there, and you have these guys riding, or these ladies riding on the coach, what are those things? Barges. Barges, and they will explain all that. They'll tell you about that. But that was amazing. That was back at the fair. That was quite a number of years ago. I forget time. I don't go back there anymore. But they had to have these things in place, I mean, completed, before they were ever put into that building. The fact that the materials for Solomon's temple were prepared before its construction began and were so perfectly fitted that no iron tool needed to be used in the construction. So this indicates that the Anatite in this gospel age has seen the preparation of the various stones which, when ready, were marked of the Lord to their positions in the temple. And they fell asleep back there then, the apostles. Fell asleep in Jesus until the time for the first resurrection, the time for the construction of the temple. And we know that, I think most of us would agree, that in 1878 the sleeping saints were raised. And for those who finish their course today, are changed in the moment, and the twinkling of an eye. To our understanding, we are now living in that time, and have been since 1878. The living stones of the past have been brought together, and the temple is merely waiting for the few living stones which are still under process of trial and discipline, chiseling and polishing. So brethren, let us remember our threefold relationship then to this temple. One, we are still in process of preparation as living stones. Two, as members of the royal priesthood carrying the ark, we are marching from the tabernacle, which is a temporary, into the temple condition. Some of our number have already entered in, and some are still on the way. Three, as the Lord's people, the time has come for us to know, to sing with the spirit and understanding the new song of divine mercy, justice, love, and truth. So let each one of us be faithful in each of these respects, fulfilling our parts, and before long our course will be ended and the glory of the Lord will fill the temple. I think I gave out the reprint number on that, did I not? Reprint 3283. Another reprint in that regard on the preparation of the living stones is the reprint 5713. 5713. Again, we read this 1 Peter 2:5 and 9 a little bit earlier, and that's a very beautiful thought. Is brought to our attention here in that particular scripture. And he tells us that the various members of the church of Christ, the saints, are living stones which are in process of chiseling and polishing, preparatory to the uniting of all of these in one grand, glorious temple of God beyond the veil. Any not enduring the chiseling and the polishing will be discarded as unfit for the glorious temple. And the bringing together of these living stones beyond the veil will be by the resurrection power, of which we read that his stones were prepared at the quarry and then finally assembled for the construction of the temple. It's repetitious. And that they were so perfectly shaped and marked for their various places that they came together without the sound of a hammer. And this work will be so perfectly accomplished that there will be no need of rectification or alteration beyond the veil. It is the viewpoint that is especially, this viewpoint is especially interesting and profitable to the Lord's people, and such of them as can realize that they have been called of God to this high calling, to membership in the temple, can fully appreciate thereafter the necessity for the trials, the difficulties of life, which are shaping them and fitting them for heavenly glory, honor, and immortality. These are the all things that are working together for good to them that love God, preparing them for the spiritual blessings and services of the future. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And this closes with, when we think of the church as the temple under construction, it impresses upon us the thought that there is a future work to be accomplished. And the question is asked in that reprint, why construct a temple and then not use it? Put it back up here a little bit. You know, I left something out, but the point is that site selection is so important when we're going to construct a building. Site selection. And we read some of those scriptures first, Matthew 16:18, all of these, and our Lord. That is the one that we're to build upon, our Lord Jesus and the apostles and the prophets. But brethren, again, it is a real blessing for us to be part of this temple that is being constructed. What a blessing. And if we are faithful, we'll be part of that goal on top. But it's conditional. We have to prove faithful until death. To him that overcometh will I give. And it's not going to happen any other way. And realizing that the one who is blessing us, the one who has been given that where we can, that's our covering. All and what we have today is that which has been provided is the throne of grace and the robe of righteousness. We have the best cleaner there is. And all we have to do is to avail ourselves of that which has been provided. And we can come how often to the throne of grace? In any time of need. That's our privilege. Of all the billions of people that have been on this earth, only a few. Many are called, but few have been given this blessing. The ear to hear, the eyes to see. This has been extended to us. To reign with Christ, to be part of that seed of blessing that's being called out. What a privilege. What a blessing. These are promises to us. Brethren, be faithful. Sorry about that. Be faithful. And we're going to cut it a little short, Brother Ed, if it's okay. Be faithful unto death. That scripture in Revelation 14, 13 will apply to us. Be changed in the twinkling of an eye. May the Lord add his blessing.